Welcome to A Cast with No Name. We are your hosts. I'm Jay.
I'm Matt.
I'm Coop.
This is episode 34, and this episode we urinate on corpses as we...
Episode 34?
94. Did I say 34?
Yeah. I think you did.
Yeah.
Welcome to A Cast with No Name. This is episode... I'm Jay. Shit. Fuck. Episode 94.
Nice.
Saved it. We're peeing on corpses.
Yes, for, peeing on corpses.
For as we talk about Shane Black's 2006 film, 2005 film, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, starring Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer. But first, don't forget to visit our YouTube channel. You can see all of our past episodes. We're also on Spotify and Apple. And thank you for listening. And as always, if you enjoy the show, leave us a like or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Coop, have you ever seen this?
I have. It's been several years.
Yeah.
And rewatching it was, I just couldn't be happier that this was the movie.
I know. I hadn't seen it in a long time, and it was like watching it for the first time.
Yeah, for sure.
It had been a while.
For sure.
Yeah. What about you, Jay?
Yeah. I don't know. I watch it like every two or three years.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Would you consider it a hidden gem? I never hear people talk about it.
I don't either.
Like,
yeah, I would say so. Yeah, for sure.
I would say so.
For like the general movie going public, yeah.
Yeah.
I think since Robert Downey Jr. has kind of blown up, I think this movie's had some like people go back and watch it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Anybody who has like a passable knowledge of movies, I feel like has seen this.
Yeah, I would agree.
But yeah, I mean, it wasn't. I don't know. I don't feel like it's too obscure.
No, not obscure. I wouldn't say that,
because even like The Nice Guys, I feel like people who like that went back and would watch this one.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that this was Shane Black's like directing debut.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I was looking at his credits. I'm like, really? This was his debut? I feel like he's been around forever.
Well, he has been around forever, but he was just writing.
Just writing stuff, yeah.
And a lot of his movies have the same feel, which he must be a phenomenal writer, because a lot of his movies feel like you can just feel like it's a Shane Black movie with different directors. So you have, like, I mean, Richard Donner did The Lethal Weapons. The Last Boy Scout, Tony Scott, Long Kiss Goodnight, and you have all these different movies. Same writer, obviously, but
yep.
I mean, they all feel
different.
Well, the same, I was going to say.
You mean in terms of like the script, like the dialogue?
Yeah, the
and
script,
everything.
The characters, like yeah. the style of movie. I mean, the look of it may be different, but I feel like it's a very similar movie. Now, but this one, with him directing it, it feels tighter
mm-hmm.
than what I feel like the sense of humor hits more, to where I feel like his other movies that he wrote were probably supposed to be that funny, but the humor was probably cut down in favor of the action.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I could be wrong too. Fuck it. Coop, what are you doing?
I was just looking at his,
pics.
Yeah, his
writing.
Resume. Yeah, so I watched a funny thing about him the other day. Actually, that the producers of Predator hired him to rewrite the script, but they hired him as an actor, so he's one of the cowboys that gets dropped into the jungle.
Which one of these is not like the others?
Yeah. The little skinny, scrawny guy. And
he was the one with the glasses, right?
Yeah. And they hired him as an actor, and then they kind of tried to pivot him to rewrite the movie, and he was like, no, the movie's great, I'm not going to rewrite it. And so that's why he was the first person killed off in the
that's
Predator.
Funny.
Yeah. So there you go.
Fucker, you're
dead. Yeah, don't slight the other writers, I guess.
Yeah. Or I guess the producer. The writers are probably happy. They're boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
So there you go. There you have it. Yeah.
But yeah, as far as Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, what'd you like about it? What stood out the most?
Oh, the quips are hilarious. The one-liners. I mean, everything that Val Kilmer says almost is just fucking hilarious. Because Robert Downey Jr. is kind of this, you know, fish out of water. He's a crook from New York. He lands in L.A., kind of happenstance, becomes an actor based on kind of a shitty circumstance that he created himself, but whatever. And he's just is so naive to the world, and he just kind of says simple questions to Val Kilmer, but Val Kilmer is kind of the guy that's been around the block, and he just shuts him down every time. No patience for anything, and I just think it's hilarious.
How much do you think was, like, improvised? Do you think it was all, like, in the script, all these quips? I kind of think it was.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how.
It feels very well written.
Yeah.
They're long dialogues that make it that is hilarious, and for two guys to just riff that, I think is pretty
it would be rough. It doesn't feel like an Apatow movie where
they just, all
right, we're just gonna point
go.
The camera at you, and then okay, I'm gonna give you a scenario, now just do your thing.
I think it was probably written, but the delivery is fucking excellent.
Oh, the delivery is spot on.
Yeah, because I mean so I mean just like the interaction on top of the roof when
which one?
Yeah, when Perry is telling, when Val Kilmer's telling Perry's telling Harry, when Val Kilmer's telling Robert Downey Jr. just to leave,
right?
Los
you're
Angeles,
not,
like,
you're not going to get it.
Yeah, like
Colin Farrell,
you're not
going to
get
so
it.
Money.
Like, just leave before something bad happens to you. He's like, you threaten me? No, I'm not threatening you. You hate the bad guys. Are gonna like that? That is constructed so well. I feel like it's. Yeah, that's not ad lib. I mean, I'm sure there was maybe a line or two in there, maybe, but
yeah.
With, I just feel it's so well written, and it kind of has like that old His Girl Friday like back and forth banter of quick dialogue that, I feel like ad libbing had no place in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the story itself, like the mystery behind it, isn't like all that, like, it felt like one of those cheap, like, mystery novels. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like,
oh,
I'm
for
like,
sure.
Because that's not the point of it. The point of it is to make you laugh because it is so well written in terms of those two and the chemistry between them. That's the reason why I think it stands out, is because it's just so funny.
Yeah.
It hits every time.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And it's, I like it because it's, for a film noir, usually the private investigator is the main character, but you just have this just rando.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Rando, small, petty criminal. Like, he's the main character.
But, yeah.
But yeah, I rewatching it though, Val Kilmer, I think 100% made this movie.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Because the scenes with just Robert Downey Jr., with anybody else, or with, Michelle Monaghan, they were fine, but it's when, and with Michelle Monaghan and Val Kilmer, it was like, nah. I mean, they really didn't have any scenes together, but there's really no scenes with Val Kilmer without Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for someone to be the lead and to be that overshadowed by a side character, I feel like he was more overshadowed, more so than what Val Kilmer did to everybody else in Tombstone. But yeah, I mean, the chemistry, I think, was awesome. I mean, both Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer did really, really good job. But without Val Kilmer, I feel like that movie would not have.
I was just thinking of Tombstone. Like, that's the example of, I'm like, when you watch that movie, you think, ah, where's Doc Holliday? I want another Doc Holliday scene. And in this movie, I'm like, I just want to fall around Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. the whole movie, because it's so funny.
And that's what works, I think, because like in Tombstone, like you just have like Val Kilmer's his character's just kind of off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, he elevates the lead so much that you want to see those two together, and just their chemistry and their back and their timing and everything is very, very rare.
It's very like Laurel and Hardy, like the old school like comic duos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you guys like Michelle Monaghan's character?
It's funny you mentioned that. I was thinking, like, why? The only reason why someone would be so head over heels for that character is if she was like the one that got away in high school.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that
Which I guess she was to him, but I thought she was just a shit character. Like, dude, she has fucked everybody in town. like the only reason you like her is because she hasn't fucked you yet.
Chuck Chetney.
There you go.
But I like how that when they get to that point and then he finds out, it's like, you slept with my best friend?
Yeah.
Fuck you. And like, immediately just.
She was like, I was never going to see him again. He was like, you're never going to see me again.
Yeah, she's not a good person. Of course, neither is Robert Downey Jr.
No. No, they're perfect for each other.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Perry is probably, and he even says, he's like, I'm not a good guy.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry, I'm not. But yeah, so yeah, no one in this movie is really.
Well, no one great. In Hollywood's a good person.
Probably not. No, yeah. I would say
it's
not.
Pretty reflective of reality.
I will say, when I first saw this, I think might have been 2000. It wasn't, because I don't know if this got released in theaters or if it was straight to DVD, but I want to say it was like around 2008-ish.
Yeah.
2009, maybe. And I had been to LA, not a lot. Hadn't spent a lot of time there. I spent maybe cumulatively 2 weeks. Up to that point in my life, and it's very accurate. Like, it was the little things, like with Robert Downey Jr. Lighting a cigarette, and people at the party were like waving it,
walking
like,
away.
Walk away. No one smokes. Like, I was in Santa Monica for like a week.
Cigarettes, you mean?
Correct. Yeah. Cigarettes. And I was walking around like Santa Monica Park and stuff like that. No cigarette butts anywhere. You walk down anywhere. Around here, it's, you just see cigarette butts.
Yeah, they're all over the place. Yeah.
Spotless where I was at. And I didn't look for them in Venice. I'm sure they're probably there in Venice. But and everyone's super nice because no one knows
who does what.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And because I asked my buddy who lived there, and I was like, what? I was like, everyone's so nice here. He's like, yeah, it's because no one knows who they're talking to. And if they happen to talk to somebody with any kind of position of power in the entertainment industry, they don't want to be known as. So everyone's very fake. And that's what, then it goes to the questions like, what do you do? Like, I'm a private investigator. Yeah. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
And
that's it?
Yep. That's it. And it's like everyone is just like looking for like a, like an edge or like a leg up or something like that or whatever. But yeah, it's just like those two small things. But I was like, that is true. Like, everyone is very, I mean, just superficial. But,
yeah.
I mean, which is the cliche, but it's very, very apparent. But I like how it was presented, especially with like the no smoking thing. And then the just everyone. Oh, what do you do?
Yeah.
And just the random people hanging out at bars until 2 o'clock, which, I mean, yeah, any city has that. But it was. Is weird. I don't know. He hit the feeling of it, in my opinion, pretty good. But.
Absolutely. I like the friend who comes up and is like, buzz, buzz, fly.
Oh, yeah.
Get out.
Yeah. And then he ends up sleeping with her.
I mean, that's, yeah. I like the direction that it would take in little moments like that. Like you mentioned you slept with Chuck Chetney and he's still holding that because you think it's going to go one way. And then, they did that a couple times and. It's just unexpected. It's smart. Smart, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Makes it more interesting than just the normal.
Yeah.
Whatever. But.
Did you like him as a narrator, Robert Downey Jr.?
I liked. Because I feel like the narration kind of went away.
Once it did.
Started until going. The end, yeah.
It was just kind of used as like an introduction. I liked how the narrator was edited into the story. And to where like, oh shit, I forgot. Oh, God, I'm a horrible. It's like when my dad's like telling a joke. He's riding a. I forgot to tell you, he's riding a blue horse. But they stop the film, and he's kind of going over it. I like that portion of it. That and when he's doing the flashback, he's like, let's get mom, pa, people standing in front of the giant fucking lens. Hey, excuse me, huh? Get the fuck out of the way. Anyways, there you see it. It's like, that. I enjoyed that aspect of it. But with classic film noirs, you typically have that narration. So it was interesting that I liked how he handled, like Shane Black handled the narration. As far as Robert Downey Jr. being a narrator, I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, that's typically what's expected in that genre. But yeah, I like the execution of it better than what, better than Robert Downey Jr.'s ability to narrate something.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
What about you?
No, I liked it. I just felt like it was there, only there for like the first 15 minutes, and then they kind of just went away with it until the end when he's just summarizing it and you know, saying we apologize for saying fuck so much if you're from the Midwest.
Oh, yeah, you nice people from the Midwest.
Yeah,
yeah. That was an aspect of the movie that I had forgotten all about until I started. I was like, oh, this is fucking gold. Especially the part that you're talking about where like you see the 16 millimeter film like reel back and go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
I really like the animated intro too.
Yeah,
like kind of foreshadows what's going to happen in the movie, but that doesn't give anything away. I thought that was awesome. Yeah,
yeah. When the animation's going in the titles, they show someone a girl being pushed out of off a ledge, and I'm like, that's not in this movie. That's in The Nice Guys, if I remember right. Like
they threw her off the roof. Not they threw alive. They threw the body off and
Down
in the dumpster.
All right,
but it does happen in The Nice Guys.
It does happen in The Nice Guys. Yeah,
yeah. Hmm.
But yeah, there was definitely similarities between that and The Nice Guys. Where I'm like, wow, there's. I don't know. What did you like better, Nice Guys or this movie? I like the banter more in this movie.
Yeah, I think this one's better written.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like The Nice Guys because it kind of reminds me of this movie, but it's still fun. And it's just like another mystery. Like, I feel like if Shane Black just wrote and directed these little small film noir comedies, he could do that for the rest of his career. Yeah. And I would watch every single one of them. Sure. I'd be so happy if he did that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think, the banter between, I mean, Val Kilmer's so good in this.
I know.
And there's nothing equal to that in The Nice Guys. Ryan Gosling's funny. And Russell Crowe.
Your fave.
Yeah. I mean, he's fine in it, but he's not really stand out. I feel like Russell Crowe could have been replaced by anybody.
Yeah.
I feel like Ryan Gosling probably could have been replaced by somebody else. Anybody. Like, just...
Yeah.
I don't know who could have nailed Val Kilmer's role as well as Val Kilmer. And same thing with Robert Downey Jr. doing the fast-talking... He was doing Robert Downey Jr. In that movie.
Fast-talking, neurotic.
Using his hands a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like The Nice Guys, but... I don't know. I don't think this is true at all, but I feel like The Nice Guys was supposed to be a sequel to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah.
And then sadly Val Kilmer couldn't act anymore.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was supposed to be something. But and then he maybe changed it or whatever.
Yep.
To accommodate it. But
I was trying to find a clip of all the one-liners online. I couldn't find anything.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Got you right here.
What's it? Oh, look at that. Yep.
That's what I was looking for too. The one-liners, but it's not, none of them are really one line. Like
I know.
There
yeah,
are
it's
a lot of go like back and forth, but it happens so quick in the movie. It's just,
Yeah. I mean, there's so many of them that some of them, like, I don't think they were even intended to be as funny as they came off.
Probably
like when they're talking about, what does he say? He's like, where should I throw this light or whatever? And he goes, just find the nearest, patch of brown shrubs and
brown
throw
shrubs
it in there.
He's like, he was smoking a cigarette or whatever. Oh God. Yeah. No, just find the nearest driest bush and throw it in there.
It's just anyway, what was your favorite one-liner? If you could pick one.
I don't know. I'm looking through these right now.
Well, I was looking through that, Jack.
I kind of like several stand. Yeah. What do you think? I'm stupid. I don't think you would know where to feed yourself if your mouth didn't move so much. If you didn't, yes, I think you're stupid.
Yeah, I texted Cooper. I'm like that yeah, exact quote. And I'm that, like, that's yeah. the funniest line in this movie.
I like the Russian roulette scene. Oh, yeah. The guy that spins it. And she's, he was like, well, it only had like an 8% chance. And Malcolm was like, who taught you math?
Well, it's a six eight, shooter. 8 times 12 and stop multiplying.
And there's so many good ones that I caught one that I didn't remember at all. There, it was when he's like, bad. It's like, what? You meant to say bad. Because if you mean badly, he's like, no, badly's an adverb, fuckface.
Who taught you grammar?
Badly's an adverb, fuckface. Who taught you grammar? Get out of my car. I completely forgot about that one.
One of the funniest scenes to me was when Robert Downey Jr. is like crying, and Val Kilmer's like, sitting in the car. He's like, all right, I got to go. And Robert Downey Jr. is like leaning against the car. I got to go. All right, well, I got it. He finally just pushes the back of his head and takes off.
Where's my gun? What? I threw it in the... Threw it in the... Why the fuck?
You threw away the gun that my mother gave me?
The ceramic finish, the $2,000 handgun my mother gave me for a present.
You don't think they're going to find my gun when they drag the lake, you idiot?
Yeah. I think next to Office Space, this has some like of the most memorable...
Oh, easily. One of the most quotable lines. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, and I feel to bring it back to the nice guys, I feel like that comedy is more physical comedy as opposed to like just the dialogue back and forth. I mean, they have some quips in that movie, but I feel like there's a lot more, I don't know, Buster Keaton-ish, like Ryan Gosling sitting while trying to take a shit and he's trying to hold a gun and he's like, has a magazine on his lap and he's like trying to juggle everything, keep the door open while he's trying to point the gun and like stuff like that.
I think the mystery is better in The Nice Guys than in this one.
Yeah. It makes more sense.
Yeah.
Ish. It's not as far-fetched, I mean, because there's a lot of weird shit that has to happen for that mystery to actually take place or whatever, but
yeah. I did think that the ending where he summarizes that her sister did commit suicide.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that's kind of like a dark, dour.
Like they're driving the car. He's like, she killed herself, man. I hate to tell you this, but he's like, oh no, what's her name? Seemed pretty convinced. He's like, I don't give a shit. She killed herself.
Yeah.
And then there we are.
Yep.
Yeah.
She thought her father was committing incest. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Gross. Awesome. Hope you enjoyed this hour and a half of playful banter back and forth. Oh, by the way, she killed herself because she thought her dad was having sex with her other daughter. Mm. Hope you had fun, folks.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
The title sequence I liked a lot.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
Well, they came out around the same time, and I was like, God, they don't do. I mean, with the exception of like Bond movies or everyone like Catch Me If You Can or this one. I mean, yeah, there's not a lot of good title sequences.
No.
Really, well, in movies.
And like even the shittier thing is it's usually just like this, like a camera like panning across the forest or panning across the cityscape, or like they could easily do something like that for the movie. You know what I mean? Like while the credits are rolling and you just see like background bullshit that. You're like, all right, let's get the story started. Like at least with opening scene like that, like you're kind of engaged and I don't know, it makes you excited to see what's going to come for the movie at least. Or at least that's what I think when I'm seeing something like that.
I mean, it's a creative way to set the tone too. Yeah. But
it's probably at least 15% of the budget paying those animators.
Yeah. Maybe. I think the movie was like 15 million.
Yeah. Small.
After it was all said and done.
Outsource that to China.
It's true.
Get a bunch of little kids doing it for you. No big deal.
They got tiny fingers. They can hold the pencils.
They can hold all the pencils.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or North Korea. Apparently that's the thing now.
Really?
Outsourcing animation in North Korea?
Well, they didn't know. So, like, Amazon, I guess, is in trouble because...
Oh, boy.
Invincible.
Yeah.
I guess they found sections of that were animated by North Koreans.
Oh, no shit.
Oh.
And then there was, like, some other cartoon that they found out. And it's not like the producers knew. It's like they farmed it out, and it just happened to be there.
Gotcha.
And it's like, so it's not like... we could really score some profit if we ship it to North Korea, but
jeez.
Just more of a coincidence, I guess. Or
you know what I do wish there was more of though is Larry Miller. He played the agent.
Oh,
the casting agent,
the producer,
the producer. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, the producer. Just because he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
He I wish was him in. And Val Kilmer had some more scenes
was
together.
He in 10 Things I Hate About You. Did he play the father?
He played the dad. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had the best line in that movie.
Yeah.
What's
that scene he has with Val Kilmer when he's like, I just don't understand it. Like, when you see a guy, you think, I have to.
See, I don't
he's
get
like,
that.
I don't get that. It'd be like, if I saw a baby, ooh, I have to drain of its blood and I have to drink it. Like, same, it's on the same level.
Like, I'm going to drain it and paint my boathouse. That's something that I feel like has probably dated the movie the most is like some of the Gay Perry stuff.
Yeah.
Of like, oh my God.
The fact that he's called Gay Perry.
Yeah. That. And then, I don't know. Yeah. Just like,
I don't think it dates it anymore because people would now be so offended by it that it makes it funnier to me.
Well,
for sure.
I was thinking maybe eventually it'll work itself as a period piece kind of a thing. But even then, like, I feel like even in 2005, Los Angeles, most people in the movie industry would not be still fascinated by someone being gay.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's what I think stood out to me. I was like, wait a minute. Like, pretty sure there's, like, big gay man piles all over that city.
Oh, yeah.
Ever since, like, the 50s. Like, it's not a...
Big gay man
piles. It's not a weird... It's not a weird thing, but...
No.
I don't know.
Why do you think he chose him to be? Why do you think Shane Black wrote him to be gay? Just because it was. It's funny that the most masculine character in the movie is gay.
Oh no! But I saw that it was like the first time there was an openly gay character leading an action movie.
Huh.
That's interesting.
And like a wide released, like in a mainstream film.
Hmm.
I don't know, probably just to make it probably felt more interesting instead of just two straight guys. Left itself for the opportunity of more jokes, I feel like. Because there's a lot of, like, for when writing something, they say to leave the gender of a character out to be the last thing. And to where if you're having trouble developing a character, change their gender. And then it gives you an idea to approach it from a different point of view. So maybe it was like that kind of exercise as well to where, oh, well, I can make this character homosexual. That's something that hasn't been seen or really explored yet. And, but yeah, cause I mean, I feel like it's not, he's never played up for laughs because of his sexuality, but they use his sexuality to create more comedic moments through the dialogue. He's like, oh, so you're still gay? No, I'm knee deep in Pushy. I just like the name so much. I decided to keep it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like stuff like that. I thought, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's fun. But
yeah,
I like the or to use it as a tactic to intimidate someone who's torturing your friend.
Yeah,
you want to look at his Johnson, don't you? Come on, look at me in the eyes and tell me you're not gay. How are you doing? Great. Shot him in the chest with the gun. I hide by my balls. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, it's great. It's one of my favorite, I don't know, comedy / I guess entertaining movie. It's one of the most entertaining movies that I can think of. And I can just recommend to anybody to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very It's so good.
Yeah.
There's, I don't know. It's hard to describe.
Yeah. I could recommend it to anyone like my dad is really tough to recommend movies to because he's so, you know, he's very particular. He doesn't like stupid stuff.
Yeah.
But this is just stupid enough to where I'm like, oh, I think he'd enjoy it.
He would still enjoy it.
He would laugh. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It keeps you engaged. It's not one of those movies that you're going to be able to watch on your phone or you're going to miss something.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it, is that I'm never like, all right. Fuck, here's the lull in the movie where it's just gonna be a bunch of dialogue and people driving or whatever the fuck, you know. It's like it keeps going the whole time.
Yeah, well, and it just keeps you on your toes too. There's so many moments in it where you're like, what the, like, okay, now Harry's got his finger cut off because she slammed the door. Like, what? How does that make sense? What, he passed out in the back seat of a car and now he's in the girl's, you know what I mean, and then he's hiding under the bed, now he shoots the assassin. Like, it just keeps you on your toes for moments that you're just not expecting outside of the comedy. Yeah, it's just very cleanly written.
Yeah, it's just very tight.
It's tight. God. It's an hour and 40 minutes. It's not 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's so tight.
It all makes sense. It all works together.
Nice Guys.
You did right after that?
No, so I'm probably going to. He could just keep doing those kinds of movies. Finding two actors that work really well together.
Yeah.
And then, like, that.
That's what he builds career off of. Yeah. Buddy.
It could just be
buddy movies.
Buddy private eye movies.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because I think there's something there when he directs it versus when he doesn't. Like, I never saw Predator or Predators.
The Predator, the one he directed?
Yeah.
I did.
Was that?
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah. No. So I don't.
He went out of the norm where he didn't ground any of it in any sort of reality. Maybe that's what he was going for.
Is that the one when they like land on a planet?
No, that's Predators.
That's Predators. Oh. Yeah,
that was Robert Rodriguez produced.
What's Predator?
The Predator is, I'm trying to remember. I forgot most of it, but it takes place on Earth, and there's a ragtag group who's tasked with killing a predator because the government has taken one to experiment on it. And so another predator comes to save that predator. And then it goes into this, like, there's two different races of predator.
Mm.
And the predator that we're used to is the inferior predator. And there's a more master race of, it's stupid.
Yeah.
And then the movie is just over the top in terms of like the humor that it's trying to go for. It's not the typical Shane Black humor. I think that's why it kind of like fell flat for me. It wasn't really that funny. And
yeah, because I feel like the things that he writes and directs, that obviously in his wheel, like Predator, I feel like he got that job just because he was the first one.
Yeah.
And he kind of has a writing credit or whatever associated.
Yeah.
But I mean, like the buddy cop stuff, like the Nice Guys and Kiss Kiss, the timing is so much is there that I feel like other directors haven't been able to pull out in his scripts.
Yeah.
Like there's a cringy ass thing in The Last Boy Scout when they're in a chase and Bruce Willis is driving a car. He's like, I swear to God, if we ever get done with this, I'm going to do an Irish jig. And then Wayans is like, what? What do you mean? An Irish jig? Blah, blah, blah. Like, it feels unnatural. It feels like it's just like it's not directed right for the writing, if that makes sense. But Tony Scott directed that one, and I love that movie. But I there was something missing. I feel like, especially with his case, like since he writes it, he's able to bring something out extra during the directing process that a lot of other directors can't, because they're working off of a script as opposed to the guy who has the idea. Obviously he thinks very cinematically and knows how it should appear on screen. I feel like if you took the script and gave it to a different director,
it wouldn't come out the same.
I don't think it would.
Well, and I think it was his first directing credit. So it's like that old saying, you get one chance to do your first one.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he just put a lot of thought into it.
Well, I think he did, because this is his first movie that he did since like The Long Kiss Goodnight, which was like 96, I think. Mm-hmm. So it was a while before anyone, like, which I don't know why people aren't just throwing him $20 million every
Maybe they
year.
Do, and he's just like, I don't want to do that. I don't know. Because he did Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Well, Iron Man 3 did because Robert Downey Jr. brought him in.
Yeah.
And kind of like as a thank you, because no one, I mean, I don't think this guy gets a lot of, I mean, he works, but he's not a, I mean, he's not a Tarantino. He's not, he's never going to be a Spielberg or anything like that, but I'm surprised he's not. I think in film, with film nerds, he's well known, but outside of that, I don't think he's very well known because a lot of people don't like Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I know.
I like it a lot. It's probably my favorite.
Your favorite Iron Man?
Yeah, just because the first one feels so dated now and old compared. But Iron Man 3 I like because it does it differently.
Yeah.
And I like the character arc in that one better. Part 2 is, I mean,
yeah,
enough.
I would agree with you. I think the third one's mine. my favorite too.
But a lot of people hate it because they're like, oh God, it was so awful. And I'm like, it's a Shane Black movie.
Yeah.
I was like, and that, like, and I think that's probably why I like it is because I went in knowing it was a Shane Black movie.
Yeah.
And so when they played the Christmas music at the very beginning, I was like,
Yeah.
And, but no, yeah, he could just do the Private Eye movies.
And when I watched it this again, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang again, I didn't remember it being Christmas like centered.
Right. Yeah.
And then when he watched it over, I'm like, oh my God, it's like so
it's
obvious.
A Christmas movie.
It's like a Christmas movie. Yeah. Now that I know.
Yeah. Watch it with
more
your
about
kids.
Shane
Christmas
Black.
Day.
Yeah. We actually did. I started to watch this with Liam and Lincoln in the kitchen. I'm like, shit. Can't do that.
Not a good idea.
Damn it. I forgot they. I can usually get away with it if they say, you know, fuck every now and then, but in this, you know, obviously they're saying it every
all
word.
Time.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It's my favorite Shane Black movie, even though he's only done four, but this is my favorite one. It might be my favorite movie that came out that year.
That was definitely my favorite movie that came out that year.
Yeah.
I can't tell you another.
I could tell you another movie from back then.
Like, it's like
Fantastic Four. The one with Jessica Alba.
Yeah, she looks great as a blonde. Yeah.
Yeah, very natural.
The very blue eyes too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Batman Begins came out that year, so that's a close one. Man, I really like that movie.
Yeah.
Join us next week as we talk about our top five favorite movies from 2005.
As we spend half the time Googling movies that came out in 2005.
Yeah, exactly. What came out then? But yeah, I recommend it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
It's very good. Anything else?
That's all I got.
No.
Join us next time as we talk about the prestige movie of 2024. No, we're not talking about Challengers. Unfrosted, starring Jerry Seinfeld.
Melissa McCarthy.
And Melissa McCarthy.
And Amy Schumer.
And oh, Jesus Christ. She's in this?
She's in it.
I forgot she was. I saw that on the title card.
Yeah.
Anyways.
What's Challengers? I have no idea what that is.
It's some dumbass. Like, everyone's saying, like, Zendaya's going to get an Oscar. No, she's not. She's never going to get a fucking Oscar because she cannot act. She can't fucking act. Anyway, she plays she's a tennis player and she fucks two guys.
Yeah. Great.
And has a threesome with him or something.
Wonderful.
Yeah. She's not going to get a fucking Oscar. She can't.
She was great in Dune Part 2.
No, she wasn't. She played MJ again.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
It's a mean mug in the fucking camera the entire time. Just. Anyways.
Okay.
Pop-Tarts.
It's a very Jerry Seinfeld. That plot
did
of
did he
movie.
Write this or something?
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting watch. I
know.
Like, is this like the last movie that came out that of like because they did the Cheeto movie, the Flaming Hot Cheetos. They did.
Was that a documentary?
They did Barbie.
No, it wasn't.
It was a movie.
And let's see who?
Well, this is
Jesus. He wrote and directed this.
Yes.
Oh, this is going to be a piece of shit.
It's a fictionalized version of the Pop-Tart story.
Oh, it's fictionalized. Yeah. Yeah, let's not do anything.
Through the mind of Jerry Seinfeld, Jay. God. Come on. He did the B-movie.
Fuck.
I'm having second thoughts about this now.
Hey.
No, we're too far gone. Let's.
No, I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to see what else he directed.
Nothing. This is his debut.
What? Really?
Yeah.
He didn't direct a B-movie?
No.
Did he write it?
He did. Of course he did. It's filled with Jerry Seinfeld humor.
Isms.
What is the deal?
What's the deal with the hive? You only have a day to live.
You're all working for the queen.
It's going to be great. Come on.
It's a Pop-Tart. What are you doing? Yeah, put fucking frosting on it.
This is an hour and a half.
The movie's only an hour and a half?
Perfect.
It's just, it seems so obvious, right? You got a pastry. You fill it with some shit.
I guess it's not.
No, you got a pastry. It. You got to fill it with some shit. Some strawberry jam, anything.
Insert jam jelly joke here.
Yeah.
All right, that's next week.
I'm going to try and hone in my Jerry Seinfeld impersonation.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
See if I can't.
What is the deal with these pastries?
Come on! I can only make them yell.
I know.
Christopher Walken.
You do an
easier,
impression of Jimmy Fallon doing Jerry Seinfeld.
You put it on the toast. All right. Yeah, that's next week. Look forward to that.
Till next time, Jay.
Till next time, Coop.
Till next time, Matt.
Till next time, Coop.
Till next time, Jay.